Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you, British lady. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your host, Dave Atwell. Here in North Carolina, Jacksonville, where the men are men and the sheep are nervous. Hope everybody is doing fantastic this evening. I'm going to ease my way through the janky back door here on Atwell Manor. Oh, Lordy. Light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars as I pass all the doggies wandering around the house here. Introduce my most esteemed panel. Oh, Lord, as I fight this door. First off, hailing from the wonderful state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, what's up?
Oh, not much. I'm glad to be able to be on tonight, ready for another great show with you guys. So,
yeah, it's good to have you aboard and everything. Ain't feeling too bad out here tonight. Would have appreciated a little bit of a breeze, but ain't feeling too bad. I hope you're having some decent weather in your end, too, but appreciate you joining us tonight.
Good well, to it was warm today. It was warm today, but of course, this is the last day of summer, so hopefully, we're supposed to start having cooler temperatures in the next few days, which I'm looking very forward to. I don't like the hot temperatures. I don't do well with the heat.
Yeah, any of the extremes, I don't like. I don't like the extreme heat. Don't like the extreme cold. Don't like the extreme pollen. Just keep me at the 50-yard line. I'm a happy guy. But, yes, definitely great to have you aboard this evening, ma'am. Appreciate you joining us. Now I'm going to kick it east from where you're at and go to that wonderful outlying reaches of the city of Indianapolis where the alpacas do things unmentionable. Which I don't want to know, so I won't ask. Nevertheless, the alpaca whisperer, Tim, what's up?
We are having a spitting good time here in Westfield, and we celebrated the last day of summer in style with the pool. We can get into that later since that seems to be what we might be discussing this evening. But, everything's awesome here. Looking forward to an awesome show tonight.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard, man. Appreciate you joining us and everything, as always. Now I'm going to kick it over to the side, not far from your place of residence, to my good brother and anchor man, Todd. Talk to me.
Man, sitting here doing outstanding, the supernatural. I'm ecstatic to be here. And it is no joke. Last day of summer, it was doing its thing today. Hit 94 degrees. The low this morning was 72 degrees. And our high tomorrow will be 68. I'm going to assume we're going to have a high higher than that right past midnight. But the actual daytime high, it's like somebody clicked a freaking light switch over here on this side of the area. It's we got a pretty dramatic drop. Saturday gets close to normal for September, but other than that, we are pushing very October-esque weather here coming forward. Somebody hitting the light switch. Heck, Dave, we're about 6 degrees warmer than you right now.
Really? Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know tomorrow, I think the high is supposed to be like 70 or 72 here tomorrow, so we won't be far from you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm done with it's funny. And before we go into tonight's topic, kind of as a segue into it, if you look at your favorite months of the year, okay, and you look at your least favorite month of the year, January and February are two shit months. I can't stand those months. If there's a way that I could, like, wake up on, or at least ways try to wake up on New Year's Day, watch some college football or something, eat some New Year's leftovers, and fall asleep and wake up right around St. Patrick's Day, I'd be tickled. Those 2 months just suck. And then you get into summertime, and you hit August. August is another turd month. Don't ask me why I don't like August. August is just a shit month for some reason for me. But September comes around, and you get that kind of fool's fall going on in September out here where it kind of cools off for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it goes back to, like, this 98-degree stuff. But then, if you could just hang on tight, you hit October, November, and December, which is like a cool version of March, April, and May. You know what I mean? So if you could just make it to the end of September, things would get better. October is one of the best months of the year. Everything just gets better in October. So, yeah, looking forward to that, man. So on that tip, as Granny alluded to and Todd had mentioned before the show and came up to with tonight's topic, it's the last day of summer. So what does that mean to you? You just heard what it meant to me. So what say you guys? You ready for this or not?
Go ahead, gentlemen. Everybody,
don't nobody jump
away, dude.
I was waiting.
Well, Tim at least kind of sort of did something last day of summer related life wise, more than I did. I don't know. I mean, I've been feeling the lack of daylight, the shorter days, all that stuff going on for a while now. No, I'm more a summer guy than a winter guy, just saying.
Yeah. There's kind of like this feeling going on that you know, anticipating it. And I don't mind the cool weather. I mean, it always just seems like everything goes by so quick once football starts. But, you know, there's like this anticipation. I'll admit, you know, it's getting this time of year where I'm kind of overdoing yard work. And it's like, all right, I think I could go for the cool down now that, you know, makes everything stop growing. And I'm getting really close to cool. And I didn't even mean for it to happen, but I finally got, like, every level in my pool. It was weird. And it's a story I don't need to go into here because everybody would be asleep after I was done. But the bottom line is the water in the pool and everything had been looking just nasty. And I finally figured out it was a hardware issue. I got it fixed. And, like, overnight, it was like a witch waving a wand over the pool, and all of a sudden it's crystal clear. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so I was going out there, putting chlorine in it this morning. It looks crystal clear. it was in the 90s today, as Todd said. And finally this evening, I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump in the pool. And Tanner followed me out there. It was only 71 degrees in the pool earlier today when I checked. And by the time it was when I was jumping in, I think it was about 73 and a half, almost 74, which really isn't that bad. If you're a kid in the middle of the summer going swimming, that's fine, 70s, you know. For me as an adult, it's a little chilly, but it felt awkwardly soothing because I actually got some issues resolved, like the high cyanuric acid, so it felt really good. We actually stayed in there for about a half hour. So, yeah, that was our little last day of summer celebration. I don't know if we're going to make that a tradition because, you know, everybody knows here in Indiana it could be 80 degrees 1 year and 55 the next on the last day of summer. But nonetheless,
oh, yeah.
It was a cool way to celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. I know this sounds awful. But the youngins, I get so wore out. And you get everywhere you go, you got youngins running all over the place. And, you know, I can sit here. We can carry on all night long about, oh, we were kids. We couldn't do that shit. You know, there were little bastards when we were kids, too, you know. But sometimes the parents just, you know, summertime, it's like, I don't know if the parents just check out sometimes. And, you know, you go in the stores, the kids are bouncing off the walls. You go into a restaurant, kids are bouncing off the walls. Sometimes I think it's a lack of outdoor activity, possibly. You know, because there's a lot of times, you know, two of the reasons why I didn't show my ass that much when I was a kid out in public is, A, my folks, obviously, and, B, I would usually have been sitting outside playing all damn day, and, you know, you go inside somewhere, like you go to the store or something, everything slows down, and before you know it, you're just dragging your ass, you know? So, getting the youngins out from under everybody's feet and sometimes get them back to school is kind of relieving. You know what I mean? And now, funny, now that I don't have children in school anymore, I'm worse about it. I thought it would kind of clear up with me after, you know, my children grew old and, or, you know, became adults and moved on and everything. But I'm here to tell you, it seems like the older I get, the less I want anything to do with children. I don't know how these guys, you know, 50, 55 years old and run off with a 24-year-old and have four more kids. I don't know how the hell they do it. Hats off to them. I couldn't do it. Of course, this is the same guy who just went out and got his fourth dog last week. So, I mean, perhaps my priorities aren't quite where they ought to be, but...
Well, see, your children, Dave, your children are growing up, so, you know, and some of them, you know, obviously have moved out and have families of their own, so you still want the pitter-patter of little feet, and, you know, some people, they just have dogs for their children rather than actual children, so, you know, I mean, which is okay, you know.
I'll tell you, Dave Sagan for the apocalypse. He's going to create a wagon for them to pull them on.
Mm-hmm.
The sled.
Well, that's just like yesterday. That's just like yesterday. Anthony sent me a picture of his little dog, and he said, "Mysterio's a happy boy. He's getting his belly rub time." So I posted that picture on Facebook, and Mysterio's laying on his back. And his eyes are barely open. He's got this little grin on his face, like, you know, belly rub time. You saw that, Dave, didn't you?
Yeah.
You saw that picture, you know. And my granddog, you know, because yeah, I have no grandchildren of my own. I'll never have grandchildren. That's why all my wrestling friends, that's why all their kids are my adopted grandchildren, because Granny will never have grandchildren of her own. But that's okay. I'll adopt. You know, my wrestling friends, they all call me Granny. Their spouses call me Granny. Their kids call me Granny. So I have all these adopted little grandchildren running around at wrestling shows that I see all the time, so which is perfectly fine.
I got a couple of dogs you can adopt.
That would be okay. I love dogs, you know. I mean, I worry about my sweet little Maggie. She's 16 years old, and, you know, I honestly don't think if we would have gotten Rex, Rex is like a almost 2-year-old shepherd mix. I don't think if we would have gotten Rex, I don't think Maggie would even still be here, because she'll be sleeping in the yard. Both of those dogs love to be outdoors. Maggie's always loved to be outdoors ever since we've had her. She hates coming inside. And she'll be sleeping, and he'll go over and nudge her. And the other day he was just running and playing, and I don't know, he just ran right into her and knocked her flat down, and she made this horrible yelping sound. And I said, Rex, I said, quit knocking your sister down. I said, you're hurting her, you know. And then he went over and started licking the side of her face like, Maggie, are you okay? Like, I'm sorry. But, I mean, but Maggie will put up with him. And then when she's had enough, she'll just laugh at him, you know, and she'll move on, you know. But and they'll sleep in the same doghouse together. One morning, David went out to feed him, and he couldn't find either one of them, and he walked around to where we keep the one doghouse on the side of the house, and Maggie and Rex were curled up together, sleeping in the doghouse, you know, and so he takes care of her, you know, he loves her, but, I mean, the other day, boy, he just ran right into her and knocked her flat off her feet. I mean, just knocked her down. Poor thing, I felt so sorry for her.
The old wrecking ball.
Right.
Yep. That's about right. But it's like you tell him to go check on, you know, say, go check on Maggie, go check on sister, and it's just like he understands everything I'm telling. He'll go, and if she's sleeping, he'll go nudge her, make sure she's still breathing, and, you know, he'll go wake her up, make sure she's okay.
Yeah, dogs get it. They know what's going on. They're amazing. I can't get enough of them. Matter of fact, I'd rather be surrounded with dogs more than I would human beings. Imagine
you
that.
You mean humans being.
Yeah. Truth.
Yeah, last day of summer, I got to throw the, look like my son closed out the summer spot on. There's, yeah, one of those fish that have been so restricted as of late there in the Carolinas, and it's able to show a rather hefty flounder, and what a way to wrap up the last day of summer.
Did you see that one? That guy caught that 12-pounder, or it was like a high 11, 14 or something like that?
God, no, I didn't. Now, that's a fish. God almighty.
Yeah. That thing was huge. I mean,
look,
he was holding
it. And it's crazy.
And, I mean, a flounder, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, that's... has a cousin that's a halibut, I guess.
Yeah, that's quite a bit of eating right there, man. Yeah, he was holding it up, and he was holding it straight up in front of him, and his hand was right in front of his chin, and that's where the mouth was, and then the tail was down below his balls. That's how big that flounder was.
Okay, I found a picture of it.
Yeah,
11 and a quarter.
There you go.
Carolina Beach.
Which is right down the road. Yeah, that thing was...
Yeah.
Had a little girth to it.
Well, yeah, look at the width. I mean, it, if those fins were spread out, it would cover his shoulders easily. Look at the mouth on that thing. That is a big stinking flounder. That's just wow. Wow.
Talking of another thing about fall coming in and summer ending that I enjoy is, and of course, Todd, you recall you were a member over there at work. We used to call us the flannel panel because we'd come to work in flannel shirts quite regularly. And I'll tell you what, wearing a nice flannel shirt, not that comfortable. And they're all-purpose. I mean, you can wear them just about any damn wear. And over there at the club, they used to have some pretty decent quality flannel shirts every fall. Go over there and scarf a few of them up and wear those things around. And flannels, you can't go wrong. They match anything. You know what I mean? Just put it on, you know?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, that time of year it's coming. Yeah, it's amazing. Today was clearly a shorts and t-shirt kind of day. And again, tomorrow the high will be 68. What the hells? Friday morning's going to be brisk. So, well, at least the good thing there is you guys, like I said, you guys got some fairly cool weather coming, too. It'll be an early kick on of heater for folks and go ahead and burn some of that dust out of the various ducting.
Yeah, man.
Things for people. Because you got a, Saturday morning, you'll be sitting at about 46 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, I have absolutely no problem with it at all. It's like smoking cigars and everything. And I'm granted, a cardiologist wouldn't agree with what I'm about to say, but nevertheless, we all got to have our vices. During the summertime, you know, the whole idea behind smoking cigars is it's not like a cigarette where you feel like you got to have it. You go smoke a cigarette. I can go for, you know, weeks on end without a cigar. The thing about a cigar is just relaxing. Having a damn drink, having a cigar, it's enjoyable. It's relaxing. I can't explain why, but it is. It's just, you know, you can feel your shoulders kind of sagging a little bit, you know, and the edge comes off and everything. And for me, you know, I like to stand here and look out in the woods, and occasionally I have the deer come out and all that kind of jazz. And you know, I'll turn my music on. I enjoy that stuff. In the summertime, though, I mean, you've got the damn toads and the crickets making so much freaking racket. And, I mean, there have been times out here on the show where I've been having to intermittently hit the damn mute button because the damn frogs are so loud. You're sweating your balls off. You got to light 400 or 500 coils to keep the damn bugs from carrying you off. So you come out here to enjoy a cigar, and the bugs are just all over the damn place. So, you know, so when it cools off into fall, every night almost becomes that kind of evening. You know what I mean? And I'm getting ready to build a gate here onto the deck. And, hell, I'll have that gate built. I'll have all four of my dogs sitting out here in the evening times. I'll have my glass of whiskey and my cigar and be listening to my Ray Charles and my Willie Nelson and just enjoying the hell out of it. And it'll be like that up till, you know, a little bit past Thanksgiving. And next thing you know, if you want a cigar, you got to stand out there. And you like those guys that were singing down there on Rocky when he walks by and they're all, take it back, doo-doo-doo-doo, take it, and they're around the trash barrel burning trash to stay warm. And it just takes the damn enjoyment out of cigar smoking because you're out there shivering your damn, your balls are banging together from shaking so much. And it just kills the groove, you know what I mean? So, Yeah,
let
I'm
me
looking
see.
Forward
he
to
ran through parts of his body sagging. He went to sweating them off, and now they're banging.
That shivering. They make that damn maraca sound. Oh, hell. Yeah, summertime ain't bad. It's kind of funny how when you age, how things kind of, I mean, when I was a teen, couldn't wait for summer. You know, I had the body to go out on the beach. I didn't mind getting chafed. I didn't mind getting sand in my vehicle. I didn't mind coming home and clogging up my washing machine or my parents' washing machine with sandy britches and everything else. But then as an adult, you know, you go out there and it's like, damn, it's hot. Damn. Somebody kick all that sand off or you get in the truck. Don't go in the house with all that sand on your feet. But then, you know, I used to really enjoy wintertime, too. Wintertime was my bag when I was in my, like, 30s and 40s. I loved the hell out of some wintertime, man. I thought that was the cat's ass. But it just seems like here, probably the last 4 or 5 years, man, winter for me just ain't – it's like after Christmas, winter just kind of starts to suck for some reason. I don't know. I think it's part of it's our –
Tell you what,
with
come up here – and you'll get over winter quick.
Oh, I imagine. Because y'all got the asshole deep snow up there.
Oh, it's not. It's generally speaking, it's been way colder than we've had snow since we've been up here as far as the actual winters. Mind you, I was able to dodge one winter.
I'll tell you what helps. Having a hot tub. Having a hot tub makes it a little better.
Yes. Yeah, the hot tub we got, the heating element went on it, so of course that defeats the purpose of having a hot tub. But in the wintertime, God, those things were amazing in the winter, dude. Keep that thing set around 104. And then the damnest thing about it, is the only time you're really cold is when you walk to it to get into it. Because when you've been sitting in it and then you get out of it, you can be standing out 30-degree weather and you feel fine. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think it's because we have a breeze, but I usually freeze my ass off as soon as I get out of mine. It's a mad dash to get inside and have to change. Oh, yeah.
Now, how long do you sit in yours?
A really long time. Way longer than we're supposed to.
Because they say you're not supposed to sit in it for more than 20 minutes, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
It's a damn wonder I ain't grown.
Yeah, it's no problem for us to be in one for past an hour. It's no problem at all.
Yeah, I even had a pretty good racket going where I could text Rob, and I had taught Rob how to make drinks, and I would just text Rob, and Rob would make drinks and just bring them out here. And
nice.
And to even be a good sport about it, it'd be one of those gigs where if I was really feeling it and he run a couple drinks out, I'd slip him a couple bucks. The next day, I'm like, here you go, dude. Here's 20 bucks. Appreciate you running them drinks out to me. So I knew that damn next night I was out there, he'd be like, Isaac the bartender, man.
Yeah. Nice call.
I mean, dude.
Oh, Lord, he kept a particular Hawaiian shirt, like, available while he's sitting there doing it. Has you know. And with Amazon now, he can get Dave those little umbrellas for his drinks.
Damn right. And now that I shave my head, I could be Captain Steubing instead of Gopher now, so that helps. Damn, nobody hooking up on the Lovebird references.
No, actually, no, when we were tracking that stuff, I was thinking more along the line of, what's his family name, Warner, Colonel Klink.
I know nothing.
That was Schultz, but yeah, the...
That was Schultz, yeah.
Hogan!
I didn't even know it, but the guy who produced that show was the guy who produced The Godfather.
Huh.
Had no idea. As huge of a Godfather guy that I am, just when you think you know everything... yeah, bigger than anything. He was the producer for Hogan's Heroes, and then somehow or another hooked up with Mario Puzo and got behind The Godfather, and he was one of the key reasons, Ruddy was his last name, he was one of the reasons why it actually went through, because Mario Puzo was actually hated by the Italian community because they said that the book gave an unfair perception of Italian Americans. And the Italian contingent there didn't want anything to do with that film being on that book making it to the big screen. And it's a pretty interesting story behind all that. He actually struck up a friendship with Columbo, who was the mob boss. And one thing led to another. Next thing you know, we're watching the greatest film of all time. So, pretty interesting stuff.
Struck up a friendship with Columbo, and all I could see was a certain dude in the trench coat.
Peter Falk, yeah.
The last day of summer. Good grief, people. Wow. What the hell happened?
Hey, another good thing. And I know Todd's waxing nostalgic, hating the passing of summer. Me, I'm cherishing it. But something else that's great about the fall kicking in is that you're fixing to go into postseason baseball. You're in football.
Who cares?
You're into hockey. Hockey's fixing to start back up. And it's like, man.
Oh, my God, less issues with hockey because there's less DQs there.
Oh, I agree. Hockey's fantastic. If you're not a hockey fan, and I hear everybody say the same thing, well, I can't keep up with the puck. I don't know what go to a live game. Go to a hockey game. It doesn't have to be pro. It could be semi-pro. And just go watch it. You'll never turn back. Hockey is a blast. You have no appreciation for how hard those guys hit one another until you actually go to a damn game. I mean, it's incredible. And those guys love it. Those guys, now granted, they're getting paid for it. I'm not saying they're out there doing it out of the kindness of their heart. They're getting paid, don't get me wrong. But hockey players seem to play for the love of hockey more than other sports play for the love of their sports. You know what I mean? So, it's always fun watching hockey, man. And then if you've got like a damn, a 65-inch screen TV with all the bells and whistles now, some of these damn, this TV I got now, I was watching a game the other night, man. And I mean, you can see trash on the sideline and you can tell what the trash is, whether it's a wadded up piece of paper or if it's a paper cup or if it's, you know, whatever. It's like, wow, you can see blades of grass. You can actually see
there we go. That's why we go to the games, is to see the trash.
That's the blood. Nothing like good old swapping of bodily fluids with one another. Damn right. That was why when they were canceling the damn games out, especially football during COVID, I'm going, good grief. Obviously, they've never played football. Because if you get covered in everything when you play football, I don't give a damn. I mean, if you're queasy about dirt, sweat, spit, snot, or anything else, just don't even get near a football field because it happens right regular. And I'm like, God, you guys worry about them catching COVID. Hell, you need to worry about them catching everything else with all the damn exchange that goes on in these games, you know.
That ain't counting the locker room.
Yeah, ain't that damn truth, huh? But the Braves are still in it. They pissed away a game to the Nats today, which puts them quite possibly two games behind the Mets coming out of tonight if the Mets win. Damn Braves, don't lose to the worst team in the National League. God, Jesus, don't do it. And that's exactly what they did. Nevertheless, I think the Braves will prevail. We'll see them in the postseason, hopefully repeat another World Series. It's always good. That's how me and Dale broke the ice. I was having a World Series party at the house back in 95, and that was the glory days when they had Smoltz, Maddox, Glavin, Chipper, all those guys playing, McGriff. And, she came over to the house and knew nothing about baseball, knew nothing about drinking beer and carrying on. As she came over, we broke the ice, and next thing you know, we're going out to lunch together one afternoon, and the rest is history. So I'm coming up on 27 years in November. So
nice.
And it's all because of the Braves. Yeehaw. One for them kicking ass. Oh, man. Now, I'll throw something else out there about summertime. It's kind of aggravating. I understand why they do it. But for a guy that grew up around here, it really gets under my skin. Todd, you've been away for, 3 years, except for that little bit of time you came back during COVID?
More than four.
Four? Good Lord. Emerald Isle now. You remember Emerald Isle used to be, you go to Bogues Inlet Pier? Or not Bogues Inlet, but Bogues Inlet Pier.
Yeah, that's Bogues Inlet Pier. That's Bogues Inlet Pier, I know what you meant.
It was nice. You go down there, you can walk down the beach, you can go out there and fish, blah, blah, blah. Well, over the years, especially here recently, they have kind of redone Emerald Isle. And there are no more beach accesses unless you live on Emerald Isle. Unless you're a resident, there's no more beach accesses where you can just park, walk across the boardwalk over the dunes, and then you're right there. There are two accesses. And one of them is a hotel access. So you just go park in the hotel parking lot, and you walk beside the hotel, and you go out on the beach. it's almost as if you get the feeling like you're not wanted there. You know what I mean? You get that feeling like it's, if you're not a resident, stay away. When you go to the pier, you can't get on the pier without paying. You actually have to pay to go on the pier. And when I was a teenager, there was Bogues Inlet Pier in Myrtle Beach, and then there was Scott's Bonnet Pier there in Topsail Island. And, of course, the hurricane took care of, I can't remember, I think it was Bertha that took out Scott's Bonnet Pier. Nevertheless, we would get out of school, or you know, when we were out for the summertime, we'd spend the whole damn summer at the beach. And all we do is we go out there and sit. You know, this stuff about everybody getting drunk, driving home, man, hell, we just go out there to the beach and just hang out. It was free. You know, we'd pack a cooler, and yeah, would we slip some stuff in there? Yeah, we'd slip some stuff in there from time to time. You know, you bottles of Boone's Farm and, you know, whatever kind of beers you could mask or, you know, that was the back in the day when Bruce Willis was doing the, not Bartles and James. What was he doing? Seagram's. Seagram's. Golden Wine Cooler. Remember that commercial?
But no. I was just about to mute and remind you that you got me. Beat me to it.
Yeah, because Bartles and James was the two old guys on the porch that hit the older. We thank you for your support.
Yep.
But you used to be able to take those guys. That was back before wine coolers became the sissy drinks that they are now. But you can mask those pretty good because you can put those in, like, Mountain Dew bottles and get away with it and everything. But, yeah, we'd go out there to the beach and just hang out. Now, what happened is, I think, 2-3 years ago, Topsail Island passed this thing where all of the beach accesses are now paid, okay? So when I say that, I'm sure a lot of you out there listening are going, yeah, well, hell, you know, I get that. It's pay. It's no big deal. The problem is that it's $25 a day. Or you can go out there and pay like $350 for a year-long pass. Now, where I'm going with all this is that going to the beach as a teen is kind of a summer thing. You know what I mean? It kind of peanut butter and jelly, you know? I can tell you, now, times are a-changing, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have $350 laying around when I was a teenager to buy a year-long pass, nor did I have $25 a day to go park. And if you wonder whether they're enforced or not, let me tell you something. They got this little silver, looks almost like a Civic that goes around. And they scan your tags. And you can see them in there with the little gun. And they're over there zapping tags. Doop. They never get out of the car. They just zap, zap. And if you don't come up on their database, you get a fine. And so, you know, in the summertime, the whole gist behind it is so they can use that money to re-nourish the dunes and this, that, and the other, which they were doing with taxpayer money anyway, but nevertheless, they felt the need to put this new parking thing in place. But what sucks is that if you go out to Topsail Island, like me and Dale do, to go out there shell shooting and everything, because now in my advanced aging, I'm the guy who goes to the beach when nobody else goes. You know, when it's 45 degrees outside, hey, let's go to the beach. you still have to pay that parking permit in January. And it's like, damn, you know, it just totally robs people of one of the best things to do in the summertime. I mean, what's the whole idea behind living on the coast? The beach. If it wasn't for wanting to go to the beach, your ass would live somewhere in Nebraska, right?
So, you don't think that ain't some of the tourists saying, man, we're paying this much to stay out on this island and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I think that don't have something to do with it. Just get rid of the locals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, run them off.
Yeah. Just... But
well,
yeah, well, you know, and there's less piers than there used to be back in the day, too. So many of them, because we're down to two. It used to be what? Right by the, not all that far from where the aquarium is, there was a pier over there. So there were a couple of them along the coast that are gone, and it's so that they can build a lot of those rental condo type things out there now.
And they just put accesses there. And for folks listening don't know what access is, an access is more or less a boardwalk that goes over the dunes and then down. Just imagine a wooden walkway that gets you over there. Yeah, because Ocean City's gone. Ocean City got blown away. There was one on the north Top Sail side. There was two that both got washed out and never replaced, because now the big thing at the beach is to build those pavilion places where you have bathrooms and picnic area and all that. And it's not bad. It's just, you know, if you're into pier fishing, you're out of luck. And the Surf City Pier, that one got washed out during, God, was it Florence that washed that one out? Or Floyd? I think they built that one back, though. I can't remember. Surf City has changed so much in the last 10 years. Yeah, one positive effect of a hurricane strike is the fact that everything kind of gets a fresh start. Where they go in there and they clean everything up, they got blown out, and then they kind of update everything. But, yeah. Even at the Capriati there on North Topsail, I don't think they got a pier anymore over there either. I think they got accesses, but they don't have a pier. So, but I do know at the very end of Topsail, you remember the, oh, my God, what's the name of those old condos that are down there? They got the neon paint on them. Ah, shit. Name's leaving me. Ain't first time. Anyhow, the beach erosion's gotten so bad there that they actually have sandbags, these great big-ass sandbags, up against. And there are some of those condos there that you cannot walk out of the sliding glass door because it's a sheer drop. Because of all, there's no more dune. There's nothing to kind of walk out on. It is just a drop. And they've got sandbags there to kind of create a false berm, so to speak. And I know a guy that I know was actually staying in one of those, and there was a bad thunderstorm that came through. And he sent me a video, and he says, hey, Atwell, he says, take a look at this. And the video is the waves coming in and splashing up against the back of his sliding glass window. So you actually have foam and everything hitting the window and just sliding down. And I'm thinking to myself, jumping, Jesus, for real? I'd be so out of there. Hell with that. ocean's one thing you can't screw with, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, up north up here, we got the Great Lakes are just inland seas. You see some of the stuff that happens up here in the wintertime with the ice shifting and stuff like that. You see some of those beach houses getting crushed when there's that craziness. And good grief. Talking slabs of ice that are larger than most slabs of concrete.
Yeah, they ain't got no give. That's for damn certain. And Superior has got some of the, if you ever look up the nautical seafaring stuff that goes on in the Great Lakes, especially Lake Superior, I mean, where they actually snap ships in half with the waves and everything. And it's crazy when you start reading about that shit. You're like, wow. It goes to show we're never on top of Mother Nature, you know what I mean? She's always got the upper hand, whether we think she doesn't or not.
Yeah,
but
well,
yeah,
seems to me I remember a certain band using a phrase, history shows again and again how nature points out the folly of man.
There you go.
From Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult. For those not tracking.
Yeah, the beach, though, in the summertime, man, the beach is... beach is the stuff, man. And for folks that live... Now, Granny, you might... I don't know if you've got any of those. You're landlocked where you're at. Do you guys have any of those man-made beaches out there where you're at?
We really don't have beaches. We have a lot of lakes, but, I mean, we don't, you know, we've got the little rivers and lakes, but, I mean, here in Arkansas, you know, where I'm at, we don't have the beaches. I mean, matter of fact, when we went to Florida last year to see my sister-in-law, we were going to go to the beach, but it rained every day while we were there, but the red tide was so high that my husband's youngest sister couldn't get anywhere near the beach because she has allergies so bad it would have made her so sick. So we never even got to go to see the beaches while we were there.
Yeah,
that
stinks. Yeah, they got those man-made
beaches.
But
now, when I lived at Holiday Island over by Eureka Springs when I first moved to Arkansas, we had a lot of bad rain one year. I mean, it rained so bad that you could go down Table Rock Lake and there was a small little bridge that you could drive to get what they called the island, and they had townhouses and condominiums, and they had like a 9-hole golf course. And it just, you know, the lake completely surrounded this island. Well, the water was so high that you couldn't even see that bridge. You didn't even know. If you didn't know a bridge was there, you'd think you were just looking at one great big lake. Well, when the water started coming back down, I mean, people that lived over there on the island would have to go back and forth by boat, you know, to, you know, just get to, you know, because you obviously couldn't drive off the island, so they had to come by boat. And when the water started coming down, a truck one day started going across the bridge. Well, the bridge started caving in, so they cut the bridge off and basically made it like for a fishing pier, you know, for people to stand and fish off of. And then they built up a higher bridge, you know, where it would be safer for people to drive back and forth. But yeah, that flooding was so bad. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, it was awful. And my grandmother, when she was still alive, she called my mom and she says, "Well, you haven't got all that flooding, have you?" Well, we were like on top of the mountain, so we said to my grandma, we said, "Grandma, if we had this much water, you know, all of Holiday Island would be underwater because." We'd be underwater, you know, because we lived on top of the mountain. But down by the lake, I mean, it was so bad. The flooding was so bad. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, for I don't know how many months it was like that, but it was that way for a long time.
Yeah, sometimes ponds and lakes are pretty nice. You don't get the wave action like you would say in an ocean or something of that nature.
No.
But, which to a certain extent is nice. Don't get me wrong. You know, you can go out there and water ski and that. Not to mention the fact that all the crap that's swimming around in the ocean. Tired to tell you, the rule out here is that if you can't see your feet, don't go any deeper. I mean, jellyfish, crabs, sharks, you name it, are floating around out here at the beach. But when you go to the lakes and everything, it's a little more subdued.
Well, when you go to the lake, you have to deal with the snakes, you know, water moccasins, things like that. You have to deal with the snakes if you get in the lake, you know, certain areas of the lake, you have to deal with the snakes.
Yeah.
So snapping turtles, you deal with
really?
The snapping turtles. So, oh, yeah.
Wow. No kidding. Yeah, damn.
Yep.
Especially do you guys have those alligator snapping turtles out there?
I don't think we have the alligator snapping turtles that I've ever seen.
Now, Todd, I know you've seen those things in your fishing travels. Those things are like straight out of Jurassic Park.
They are. They've been around a minute, and those things are no joke. And
no,
I had a smaller alligator snapper destroy, and this is where it's at, where you have fun with some of the water, because it was a brackish water, destroy a crab net. It was a crab trap, I guess. It wasn't the conventional box crab trap, but it was still a crab trap, just basically looked like a hanging basket for your hanging plants. It was designed after those things, and I had the bait there tied in the center, and the idea was you pull it up and the outer ring would come up first, and the crab would help swim it sideways routine, bring it up, and that whole thing started moving, and it was close to 3 foot in length of shell, and I was like on that snapper, and I just, yeah, you're good. You can have it.
Yeah, enjoy. Now, do you have
but
Dan
Henry?
But
it's the
Henry?
Same water that you can catch crab.
Yeah, damn sure enough is. Catching crab on the old chicken and string is a blast. It's kind of hard to do now because the crab don't get big enough. I don't know if it's an overfishing thing or what, but
they still did good last time. Well, we hit a spot that doesn't necessarily get crab. But you know, you get the same people in the same spot day in, day out. And last I knew, it was I think 5 inches point to point for keeping purposes. But the crab population seemed to still be solid. Sure did. You know, the fact is you can tell you got a male to a female, and if you get a female with eggs, you always throw them the heck back.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I always threw all the females back.
Pretty cool.
Only kept the males. That was something my folks always said. Only keep the males. Of course, when you pull a female out, you got to fling that thing 7 or 8 blocks away so it doesn't come right back to your bait. But if for no other reason, when you go to clean a female, they're a pain in the ass to clean because they've got all the egg and stuff going on and blah. Nah.
Well, usually if they're full of the egg, they'll have that hold. The whole thing will come right on out. It's kind of neat because it'll literally separate that part of the lower shell from their body, and it's got that big, heavy, sponge-like mass. It's in there.
That yellow?
Very
yeah, the yellow.
Pretty, that's pretty cool. It's pretty damn cool. The, but yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, I gotta say, Yuki used to highly encourage me for the boys to go out at night. She wanted me to come back with a case of crabs.
Ain't nothing that soaking in bleach can't fix, right?
Yeah.
Now, Tim, Granny, have you guys ever been crabbing before?
No, I haven't.
Negative.
Oh, wow. Jeez Louise. We got to get on that. Dude, crabbing, what you do, and it's kind of in, Todd, I'm sure you've run into this. It's not as easy as what it used to be because you can't find chicken backs anymore. And there's
yeah,
a massive
I long ago ended up just buying chicken legs.
But the legs, they're so damn heavy. You couldn't, you know, when you were pulling them in, the thing of it was is that thighs and breasts cost too much. Wings, there wasn't enough meat on them. Of course, that was back in the day. Now they cost too much. Drumsticks were too top-heavy. So when you'd wrap the string around the bottom of the drumstick, when you were pulling it in, you couldn't tell whether it was the motion of the tide or whether it was a crab trying to walk off of the drumstick. And that was another thing, too, is that drumsticks were too heavy for the crabs to walk off with, and you couldn't get a real good pull. Whereas a chicken back had even weight, you can tie your
yep,
string anywhere up and down, you know.
Yep.
But the whole
function. It's almost too expensive now. But, yeah, buying the chicken necks as well, and they were smaller, but those would work fairly well.
So, Granny Tim, what you do is you take a string and you tie it to a chicken back. Okay.
Think along the line of a butcher's twine or a good kite string.
There you go. And fling that sucker probably no more than about, what would you say, Todd, 8-10 feet away from you?
8-10, if you know what, if you're in a place, you know, you wouldn't have to go. You were playing the odds. If you made it too long, if you were pushing 12-15, a lot of time the crab would realized something was afoot and let go, so you kept it closer, 8-10 feet, but you didn't need any more than 10 at all.
No. So what you do is when you put the chicken out in the water, you hold the string in your hand loosely. You just more or less cup your hand and just lay the string in your hand, and you can feel the
or
crab.
Or tie it off on the other end.
That's true. Or use like a little stick or something of that, you know. Because
yep,
what you want to do, you want the crab to think that he can walk away with the bait. And you can feel it right to start with because the crab will go up there and nibble a couple pieces off of it first, and then they'll lock onto it and try to walk off with it. So you can feel it bounce a little bit. You can feel it in the string, right? So
you'll see the string move the whole 9 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you pull it in real slow. Real slow, and then if you're real good, you can do it by yourself, but usually with back in the day, me and my brother, he'd be the string guy, I'd be the net guy, but then the net guy gets, you know, shin deep in the water enough to where he can see the bottom, and you just pull that string in real slow, and keep coaxing that crab to follow it in, and when it gets close enough, the net guy goes in there and pulls the crab up in the net, and then you walk over to your cooler, deposit the crab, and throw your chicken back out. And that's how you crab. And it's it.
We throw out, we tie off of, like, Camp Johnson over there. There was always, they had this little fishing dock. And you will see a million pieces where string was tied off and people just broke the other end off. It's retied and retied and retied. The people would have the, I did this heavily with the kids. They would be crabbing. Yuki, Garen, kind of be crabbing. And I'd be throwing the cast net for shrimp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd be, you'd have a, you'd come back, and if things were well, you had a dinner of crab and shrimp.
Yeah, and had just plenty of it. Yeah. And then you lay the newspaper out, and you get your cold beer, and you go to town, and you get to just chomping, man. Have you a damn bowl full of vinegar for the crab and a damn little bowl of cocktail sauce for the shrimp and just go to town. God, that's
oh,
crazy.
Oh, man, but Yuki and Kana, boy, they, daughter-in-law, Casey, too, they can disassemble those crab, and they really don't need anything. And a lot of times I just do the classic Cajun boil for those, or sometimes we just strictly speaking steam them. Same with the shrimp too. And just go buy some of those little petite potatoes and those little mini ears of corn that, you know, from the freezer section. Throw those in there.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief, dude! Just go ahead, do the whole southern boil thing, and man, yeah. Yeah.
Because crab boil, of course, me being from Maryland, everything has to have Old Bay on it. But, yeah, when you throw all that stuff in there with the crab and the shrimp and just let it boil all at one time in that crab boil, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you get covered in it. Don't get me wrong. You need a damn poncho when you're eating it. But, my God.
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah. But, I mean, you guys would never imagine the crab. It's hilarious because every time you flip the cooler open to put another crab in, every crab in the damn cooler sticks its claws up out of the water and kind of gives you that, what you looking at, man? I'm going to claw your ass, man. They all look like they want to go to you.
Yeah, they got an attitude. I remember, true story, we had with a good batch of ice, and it was my brother Jimmy was still alive. He was still married at that time. He, his wife, and the first two boys were down there, and we were showing them the crab, and it was pre-hurricane. So it was just starting that low front, and I don't care what anybody says. To me, that's a great time to go fishing, crab and whatnot, because they're going to – they feel the change in the pressure, and they'll go on a heavy feed knowing that everything's going to be disturbed. And we had those nice cold coolers, had everything loaded up, and they thought it was cool. And it was just – and they were all like 6-plus-inch crabs.
Oh, wow.
They were all pigs because they were, the bigger, more dominant ones. So they shooed the little ones away, and they were going for the eats. And because they had been in the cooler with ice, and we were sitting there doing the pictures, and they'll go dormant when they get too cold, and you'll think they're dead or whatever, and then boy, that body temperature gets up on them a little bit, they start moving, and it was funny watching the kids, they're trying to do the photos with them, and sure enough, those things get moving. Oh yeah, God, the kids were little back then. Hell, they were all kindergarten, first grade age back then.
Yeah.
Younger.
But, going back to our summertime topic, man, that was when I lived in Paris Island, that was the summer. I mean, I can recall my dad telling me, hey, guys, and I got to hand it my pop, as much of a hard ass as he was, he kind of knew sometimes when he had to kind of throw a little water on the fire. He was kind of good about not sounding it, making it sound dire, you know what I mean? And I remember him coming up to me and Dan a couple times and going, hey, guys, and like, yeah, Pop, and what's your plan today? Well, we're going to go down there to the boat ramp. We're going to do some crabbing. And he's like, hey, yeah, look, me and your mother talked about it. We've had crabs three times this week. What do you guys say you just play some kickball in the backyard and get home, we'll get some McDonald's? Because my folks are so damn tired of eating crabs. But, yeah, that was...
Yeah, that was kind of a summertime thing, but, you know, we'd load the freezer, too.
Oh, yeah. Because you can pull that stuff and make that lump out of it. And then, of course, you know, you make your crab cakes with that and everything. And crab cakes, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Crab cakes. I can eat the hell out of those things. My God. And it seems like every crab cake you eat, everywhere you go, it tastes different. There's no real consistent. It's almost like barbecue to a certain extent. You go to some different places and the barbecue is always different. Crab cakes are the same way. You go to Maryland, they're a certain way. You go to Georgia, they're a certain way. You know, here in the Carolinas, they're different. And but good eating, my God. But you can freeze, as Todd was alluding to, you can freeze that crab meat. And the consistency of it doesn't suffer at all, you know. Doesn't have any of that freezer taste to it or anything.
No, as long as you store it right, you know, use it timely.
And if you have a little concern about it, just shoot a little bit of lemon juice in there. Not a lot, just get one little of lemon juice in there and freeze it in the lemon juice if you're worried about that freezer taste, which I've never encountered, but nevertheless. But, yeah, me and my brother, we would ride our bikes to the convenience store right there at Laurel Bay and go in there, buy chicken backs, buy two packs of chicken backs, and then me and Dan would ride our bikes down to the – now, mind you, it's two brothers riding two bikes side by side, carrying a cooler in between them. You know how like, you do the keg walk? Well, we were doing it on bikes with a cooler.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just kind of a thing. And a lot of times there would be a fishing pole in the outboard hands.
Yeah. Yeah, and catch spot, mullet. All that kind of mess. Hell, there's a lot of times we catch mullet or spot, and we just use that for bait just the same. We tie the damn...
Oh, yeah. You tie it through the set the line through the gills through the mouth. Was my favorite trick. Run the line through gills to the mouth, and you get a great place to put it on, and stuff could work the body over, and they'll eventually get to the head.
Yeah, crabbing was a blast, man. That was good times. Of course, you know, nowadays it's really hard to do with all the regulations, and we've spoken on that topic here on the show before where, you know, back when I was 8-10 years old, it was nothing to grab a damn fishing rod and go to the boat ramp, go fishing. Whether you kept anything or not, didn't make a shit. You just sat out there and fished. Nowadays, hell, they got game wardens sitting at every corner with damn tape measure. And God forbid it be a 6-inch limit, and you've got a fish that's 5 7/8. So,
yeah, they get crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, they need you on some of that, and that's the thing. It's, you know, if you knew you had one at the bottom edge of the limit and it's going in the cooler with ice, you're going to have some shrinkage, and you got the people there. Well, what you got to do is take them and make sure at a couple places along the spine, you break the spine so that it'll make sure they stretch a little bit. And then you got people that don't care.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the reason why you got to put these rules into effect. You know, you got people that overfish and everything, and, you know. And, you know, the fish have got to be able to screw and make little fish. And if you're out there keeping everything in sight, no matter what the size, it does. It affects the ability to keep the, you know, the abundance of the species and everything. But, yeah, that was a summertime, no questions asked. As soon as school's over with, go out, get the cooler out of storage, hose it out. Make sure you had air in your tires at the damn bike because you were carrying all that weight. And, yeah, go at it. God, it was good times, man. I enjoyed it. Just a shame now, you know, it's like my kids, neither one of them really were able to do that kind of stuff. So they don't have that type of memories. You know what I mean?
Oh, I corrupted mine. I corrupted mine.
Stop what you were doing and took them out there, right?
Yes. You know, that was the thing to do. That was the thing to do. And they, you know, we still know. I mean, we'd be out there, and if it was a sucking day fishing, there was still stuff to watch out there. Watch the osprey out there hunting. You know? Just watching them do it or watch the different things, you know, and sitting there, the patterns of things going on out there are just always mind-boggling. Okay, we're pushing 17 minutes and change after the hour.
Yeah, about that time. I guess we'll go ahead and kick it around the room real quick for the parting shots and everything. So, Granny, we will start off with you, young lady. What kind of parting thoughts do you have this evening?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week. And, you know, it's almost October, and, you know, this year is just totally blown by as quick as it could possibly fly. And just, you know, keep me in your thoughts and prayers as I have my little podcast on Friday, you know. So, you know, I hope that everything's okay, but, you know, I'm trying to remain positive. I kind of had to laugh at my doctor today when I went for my, you know, 6-month checkup with the doctor that handled my blood clot issues. And I told him, I told my husband, I said, yeah, if I have to have a stent put in, I said, I probably won't be able to go to any wrestling shows for a while and holler at the bad guy. And I said, if I couldn't go to a wrestling show, you might as well just put me out to pasture. And he just kind of chuckled and laughed. He says, you'll be able to go to the wrestling shows and holler at the bad guys, you know. And I said, well, that's good, because I said, if Granny's at a wrestling show and I can't holler at the bad guys would be coming over, feeling Granny's forehead, asking me if there was something wrong. So I'm just, you know, praying that everything's, you know, going to be good. So
I'm sure it will. And modern day medicine is some pretty incredible stuff, what they can do these days. So, you know, go in there and listen to the doc, let the doc do what they got to do. And Lord knows you come out of there feeling 10, 20 years younger. You know what I mean? And
that would be good. You know, that would be good. So kick butt and take names later, as the old saying goes.
Damn right.
Yeah, Granny would remember what it'd be like to feel like her 150s. Feeling 20 years younger.
Yeah, right, Todd. Considering I'm only 50, you know, to feel like 40 again, that would be cool, you know. I mean, you know, feel like 40 years old again, that would be
That's
would be
why
all right,
Lincoln was,
you know,
saying
so.
67 grannies ago.
Oh, you guys. I'll tell you, what would I do without you all? Y'all keep me laughing, that's for sure.
Doc says, do you
y'all
have any concerns you want to ask? And Granny says,
y'all,
well, how many leeches are you going to put on me?
You all definitely keep me laughing for sure, guys. You know. Oh, my son has a message for you guys.
Oh, what's that?
Okay. He says that you all need to make it a yearly ritual to do the granny roast on me every year on my around my birthday. Because we really didn't do it this year, you know, which is okay. So you guys gave me a break, you know. Just with everybody's schedules, and you know, we didn't have a show for a couple of weeks there, you know. So, but Anthony said the other day, he says, you know, he says, they just need to make that just a yearly tradition for you, Mom. And I'm like, no, they don't need to make it a yearly tradition. Once was enough. Once was just fine. You know, we don't need the yearly. We don't need to make this like a yearly tradition.
The yearly roasting.
Yes. The yearly granny. You know, like you have the Slammy Awards every year on WWE. You know, Anthony says you need to have the yearly granny roast. And I'm like, no,
there
we don't need the yearly granny roast. No yearly granny roast. I'm sure Stro and Velvet would be all for that if they were on here tonight with us. So
yes.
You know.
It'd be all about. Absolutely. But Granny, it's been great to have you aboard this evening. And
thank
you,
sir.
Let us know how everything goes this weekend.
Oh, I will.
And
I'll keep you all posted.
I'm pretty certain
so. Everything
will be fine. Just go in there and let the docs do what they got to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Sure do appreciate you joining us this evening. Now, Tim, I'm going to kick it your way, young man. What kind of parting shots do you have this evening?
I don't have much to add. Looking forward to wrapping up the projects. I got a lot done over the summer, so I do feel accomplished, and I got some more stuff I want to try to knock out before it gets too cold out. And just hope everybody, as we wrap up the summer, hope everybody had a nice summer and look forward to the fall, just as we've been discussing here. And as well as have a great week. So I think with that, I'll kick it on over. Have a good one.
Right on. Appreciate you joining us this evening. As always, good to have you aboard. Todd, what kind of parting shots do you have, sir?
All right. Let's say here, of course, happy last day of summer. This Friday, son Gary and I celebrates another anniversary of his birth. That's just to stress the point that everybody only has one day of birth, thus birthday. But yeah, he's going to be celebrating that. He's been on the planet X number of years. And celebrate that day this Friday, Gary, and way to close out your summer, dude. That was a hellish nice flounder. take care of yourselves, take care of your family, take care of one another.
Yeah, man, definitely a happy birthday to Gary. Fine young man, always impresses me every time I see him. And, yeah. Hoping he has a great birthday celebration this weekend. Party your ass off. Do whatever you got to do. It's all you. But, yeah, I'm be passing on the happy birthdays to him this weekend, faux show. Like I said, fine young man. You done all right there, Todd. You done good, both of your youngins, man. They're both good people, man. So well done. Now, speaking of birthdays, today, Olivia Isabella came into the world at 7 pounds, 14 ounces, and 22 inches long and made me a great uncle and inducted my brother into the grandparent realm. So now he has one and I have four. So, yeah, everybody's healthy. Everybody's doing fine. During the show, I got a picture of my brother holding his new granddaughter. And I tell you what, you know, it's funny when you see family members, and you know them best, and you see pictures of them, certain pictures, and you can just tell that there's a different kind of happiness going on in that particular picture than versus others. And I can tell by my brother's face right here that that gentleman is on top of the world right now, and good for him. He's another guy that's done it right. He worked his ass off, raised his children correctly, moved them on to college and whatnot, and now he is enjoying the second half of his life, and it's fixing to get a lot more enjoyable now that he's got a youngin in his arms. So congratulations to him. Feels good to add another title here, being a great uncle. I enjoy it. So, yeah, congratulations to my brother Dan and his daughter Olivia and her husband Jorge. Wonderful couple. He's a fine young man. He is doing everything correctly as a man, and could not be happier for that couple, and they're doing good. So big congrats to them. And
good to go. Hey, I just want to clarify real quick on something you said. Much like somebody has said their job is intelligence, being a great uncle, it's only a description, doesn't make you great, so don't let it go to your head.
Yeah, it's, you know, what makes you a great granddad? Well, let's just say you're a mediocre granddad, but you're, how does all that work? Didn't know there was a 5-star rating system to this shit, you know? But, yeah, looking forward to seeing them. I'm sure Emily will be down here soon because they live not far from here in Garner. And they periodically come down and visit my folks and everything. So I'm sure they will be down at the soonest opportunity to show off the new product. Looking forward to seeing her and them, for that matter. And quick update on the new acquisition. Old Violet is doing fantastic. She is doing just fish to water. She's been a very pleasant addition to the Atwell household, bringing the grand total of dogs to 4. And she is mirroring, she's a French, they call them great, but they're otherwise known as French Mastiffs. And she is like following lockstep everything that Misty did. She even lays the same way that Misty lays on the floor. Everything, her mannerisms, everything, the big chubby cheeks and everything just kind of matches exactly what Misty did. And I've often spoken on here about what a great breed of dog Mastiffs are. I'm here to tell you, I'm looking forward to having 2 of them in the house, despite the fact it's like having 2 buffalo in the building. But she is doing fantastic, and I enjoy all 4 of them. So, again, as I've alluded to right here on the show a bunch of times, is that if you're in the market for a dog and you want to buy one, please, if you're looking for a particular breed that suits your wants and needs, then by God, go out and buy one. Because what you don't want to do is be an unhappy pet owner. You want to be satisfied as a pet owner. You want to be happy as a pet owner. But if you really have no preference, hit up these rescues are really doing an incredible job out there. And, the amount of work these people put into it is pretty damn remarkable. And you will find that a lot of these rescues are pretty damn rewarding, and these dogs get it, and these dogs will love you till the end, and it's unconditional, good stuff. So with all that being said, I'm going to skip all the con news because we've got a lot more stuff on the horizon. Dr. John called me right before the show. He's got a bunch of stuff that he's bringing together. So we'll keep the con news for next week. But nevertheless, I guess I will take one more power drag off of this cigar and then ease in. There it is. At Will Manor. Put an end to tonight's broadcast with the British lady, who's probably still in mourning, even though it took like 10 days. I'll tell you what, I didn't think, it's the last time we're ever going to see a royal funeral like this in our lifetimes, because Charles, I don't think anybody has any use for Charles. So when he dies, chances are it's going to be like, yep, okay, but, yeah, take care of it. But, man, the amount of pomp and circumstance that was going on.
Well, he ain't going to have that tenure either, so.
No, nowhere near it. So, and, of course, William, his son, he'll outlive all of us on this show in all likelihood, but, yeah. Get the British lady cued in. Oh, Lordy. Ugh. Take care of all the putting out all the bug lamps that are necessary here in the swamp. Oh, there's two of them right there. Walk in, got Sadie and Mika just crashed on the love seat together. Yeah, you guys look pretty damn comfortable. Sorry for interrupting. All right. So here we are to the laptop. Let's see if Spectrum Internet is holding up this Wednesday night. Oh, damn, still got Internet. Very good. All right, so with that, appreciate everybody joining us this evening. You guys stay safe. And thank you always for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars. Where is that British lady?
Where's that come from, British lady?
Where is she at?